Next is a meeting with disciples on November 24th, 1991 in Vrindavan.
I wanted to talk about preaching and a good place to base such a talk is on the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, Chapter 9. Which describes a figurative tree, the tree of Lord Chaitanya, and how it's spreading all over the world. I will see as we read this that to be part of this tree means to be part of a family of devotees in which there is simultaneously culturing of spiritual life by the members and trying to help others, which may mean giving Krishna consciousness to people who don't have it at all, and also sharing it among the members, what we call preaching to devotees. So, Krishnadas Kaviraj is describing this big tree, and at the same time, he's mentioning all the members, Lord Chaitanya and his associates at that time. Then he says, from the trunk grew many branches, and above them innumerable others. Thus the branches of the Chaitanya tree formed a cluster, or society, with great branches covering all the universe. And Prabhupada has a one-line purport. Our International Society for Krishna Consciousness is one of the branches of the Chaitanya tree. So, in another place, he mentions that, as in Lord Chaitanya's time, his devotees mostly came from Bengal or Orissa. Now, the members of Krishna consciousness, Lord Chaitanya's group, they can be found among people all in all different nations of the world. So he said, in the future, they'll be written about, just as now we hear so many devotees' names are mentioned, some of them at length, like the six Goswamis, but so many are mentioned, even briefly. So he said in the future we will hear devotees coming from these other places, as now we do know of all our so many members of the Krishna Consciousness Movement and how they're serving. So this is the spiritual identity of this movement to which we belong. From each branch grew many hundreds of sub-branches. No one can count how many branches thus grew. In other words, it's not a material society or something that was concocted or created by somebody. It's part of the spiritual, you can even call it Leela. Of course, not everything that we do in ISKCON qualifies as liberated pastimes. There's so many things that we do that are imperfect. But the existence of this movement is part of Chaitanya Leela. And Prabhupada is part of Chaitanya Leela. So what he did when he came here in this world is spiritual, just as what Lord Chaitanya did in this world is spiritual, not a part of this world. This is not so remote in time as Lord Krishna's Leela, which historically speaking was 5,000 years ago. So this was only 500 years ago. And all the activities practically that you read in Chaitanya Charitamrita are being carried on still today. chanting, dancing, honoring prasadam, and hearing about Krishna, and preaching the holy name, spreading it. He begins to name the primary persons in the tree. One trunk is Advaita Prabhu, another is Sri Nityananda Prabhu, and so again, the branches start to grow all over. Now, all the wealth in the three worlds cannot equal the value of the nectarine fruit that grows on this tree. The gardener, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is distributing it without asking any price. So that's natural. When there's a tree and nice fruits, you wonder, well, who's going to get it? Who's going to get this fruit? Is it going to be sold? I remember we stayed at some health place in South India, and on the grounds there were many, many banana trees being sold for commercial purposes, raised for commercial purposes. And the man was so afraid that people were going to steal the bananas that they cut them down when they were very green, and they put them in the basement, which is not the best way to... It's better that they ripen on the tree. But he said, well, as soon as they ripen, someone will come and steal them. So this, so as soon as you see nice fruits growing on the tree, that will immediately, the question will come, who's going to get those fruits? But there's no such anxiety with this, these fruits of love of God. Lord Chaitanya is not trying to do a business. He wants to give them out. He wants to eat them himself, but there's so many. He wants his friends to eat them, and there's still so many. So he wants his friends to distribute them, and everyone who takes them will be intoxicated with the delightful taste and nourishment. So he says all the wealth in the world cannot equal the value of the nectarine fruit. Although the tree is figurative, means an imaginative idea, it's a way to describe a society which is not imaginative, and the fruit is not imaginative. The fruit of love of God frees you from the cycle of birth and death and gives you the nectar for which you're always anxious, which we don't find in food and drink and other enjoyment in this world. Not considering who asked for it and who did not, nor who was fit and who unfit to receive it, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu distributed the fruit of devotional service. Prabhupada says, this is the sum and substance of Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement. There is no distinction made between those who are fit and those who are not fit to hear or take part in the Sankirtan movement. It should therefore be preached without discrimination. The only purpose of the preachers of the Sankirtan movement must be to go on preaching without restriction. That is the way in which Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu introduced this Sankirtan movement to the world. Prabhupada began his preaching in America that way. Anybody could come, everyone was invited, in order to do the very important first activity, to chant the holy name. You don't have to follow any rules or give up any bad habits even. Just come and sing and dance and take some prasadam. So it's still going on like that. And so those who are serious members who are following this, they simply want to be able to do that, to offer this opportunity to everyone to take the Krishna consciousness. The temples are open in the same way. This temple, Krishna Balaram Mandir, when Prabhupada opened it in 1975 at the ceremony, you see in the photo, he performed the first arti to Krishna Balaram. And then he turned right on the altar and he gave a lecture from there. Big crowds were pressing forward. And in his lecture, he said, this is an international temple, and it is open for everyone. There's no distinction as such, but you have to be a Brahmin or this caste or that caste. Everyone can come here. So it was very nice the way he made that such a keynote, that it's very open. Now, when we talk about preaching, and how all the members should take part. It should be done in a broad way. It should not be intimidating. And it should be pure. One shouldn't think that the preaching is actually some kind of just money-making method, or that people are being forced to do it, and there's only, or that there's only one kind of preaching. So, just to belong to this society is to belong to just to belong to this society means that you are part of the preaching movement. And everyone should try to think of how what they're doing helps to spread the movement and to maintain the movement, to make it influential in the world, to make it pure, and to make it exemplary. So if we understand it that way, then anything that one does wholeheartedly, sincerely, can contribute to the quality of the Krishna conscious movement and to its spreading. So I don't have to enumerate all the kinds of preaching, you know, from cutting-edge propaganda of telling the world complete ignorance of Krishna consciousness, what Krishna consciousness is, giving out the books of knowledge, explaining it in lectures, what Prabhupada himself called propaganda. Vigorous kind of preaching, field work. But even that has so many different branches. Kinds of lecturing, kinds of audiences, and places, and differing ways. Then, as a result of that kind of outreaching, people come when they want to associate more, like in Rupa Goswami's descriptions, Ado, Shraddha, Kasap, Sada, Sangha. When people hear, then they want to associate with devotees. So then, when they come either to a temple, or maybe to say they got some piece of literature, propaganda in their town, maybe there's not a temple there, but there are a few devotees living there. This is also becoming more popular. Devotees, especially grihasthas, going somewhere to live, and from their home, holding some kind of kirtans or evenings of getting together with people to tell them about Krishna. So whether as a result of hearing about Krishna you go to a big temple or you go to some devotee's home to find out more, then that's also certainly preaching when you meet those people and they tell you some what is Krishna consciousness. Show you how to practice it. And the activity, so even aside from that explaining, you may also see things. Say, you get a piece of literature and you go to a Krishna conscious farm, and you may be particularly interested in that. Then, perhaps when you go there, one person takes you around and says, here, over there, that's our garden, and over there they're working the oxen. So, it's not that it's just the cardboard stage that he's, facade that he's pointing to. There's somebody out there actually sweating and working with the oxen. And there's actually somebody out there bending over and working on the earth. So they're preaching cow protection, ox power, dependence on the land. And then the person showing you around may say, this is our school where the children are educated. And say something about, someone may say, well, what about marriage? Can you get, members get married, or are there any rules for marriage? Yes. And then we have to point to some kind of exemplary activity. Therefore, to be sympathetic with this movement, to live in some kind of favorable and contributing connection to the movement means that you're also, if you're productive, means you're preaching. And this should be encouraged, that everyone has something to do, to be part of this gardening, big gardening project of growing the tree and ripening the fruit and preparing the fruit, distributing the fruit and enjoying the fruit. The transcendental gardener, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, distributed handful after handful of fruit in all directions, and when the poor hungry people ate the fruit, the gardener smiled with great pleasure. So a devotee has a basic conviction that material want is not as great as spiritual deprivation, and that there's great spiritual deprivation in the world, and that Krishna consciousness is therefore very important, welfare work. We definitely must have this kind of conviction, or then what's our purpose? What are we doing? How do we answer the question that, what are you doing to help people? So again, by doing some kind of honorable devotional service within the big tree of Lord Chaitanya, you get that sense that I'm helping this planet, the people of this planet, and pleasing my Guru and Krishna by doing work that's actually going to can help people. And as with any organization, political organization or whatever, every worker is doing something important. As in the railroad company slogan, keep the wheels moving. Whether the person is a clerk processing the traffic control papers or is actually driving the locomotive, they're all thinking how to keep the wheels of the locomotives going. Lord Chaitanya says, I'm the only gardener. How many places can I go? How many fruits can I pick and distribute? Prabhupada says, this indicates that all classes of devotees should combine to distribute the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra without consideration of time, place, and situation. Lord Chaitanya says that if he had to do it himself, how could I possibly do it? Therefore, I order every man within this universe to accept this Krishna consciousness movement and distribute it everywhere. I am the only gardener. If I do not distribute these fruits, what shall I do with them? How many fruits can I alone eat? Now, the fruit that he's referring to is very rare, actually, in this world. And Prabhupada describes it that there's not just one kind of fruit. There are many, many fruits, and they should be distributed widely. That was the mission of Lord Chaitanya. So what was it that he was tasting, and what is it that he wants to distribute? This can be explained in a simple way and also in a very esoteric way. That Lord Chaitanya was tasting is the love of God, the happiness of the spirit soul, liberated from material anxiety, fear of death. But what is love of God? For Lord Chaitanya, it meant that he came as in the mood of Radharani and was experiencing the love that she feels for Krishna. So this, of course, this cannot be exactly distributed, because only Lord Chaitanya could taste it. But he wanted to distribute as it's possible for jivas to taste this. He says, there were many precious... Almost seems like it should be previous. There were many precious incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but none were so generous, kind, and magnanimous as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, for he distributed the most confidential aspect of devotional service, namely the conjugal love of Radha and Krishna. Therefore, Sri Rupa Goswami Prabhupada desires that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu live perpetually in the hearts of all the devotees, for thus they can understand and relish the loving affairs of Srimati Radharani and Krishna. This reminds me of some questions that Prabhupada was asked by a television interviewer in the United States. And the man said to Prabhupada that, of course, in America, there's been many centuries there have been religion has been here. So what did you think you had to add to this? So this is a pertinent question, because why makes a special thing about Lord Chaitanya's movement? If already there's so many religious movements who are also propagating. So Prabhupada began to answer in a different way this question. He said, oh, I spoke against any religion when I came here. I think that they're doing all right, but they are religion. We don't speak against them. So the interviewer said, well, that's not my question, though, that you don't speak against them. But why do you come at all? What do you have that's that they don't have? Well, then Prabhupada said, this movement is authorized by Lord Chaitanya. So just as in this television studio, you or someone is the person in charge. So what you say is an authorized statement. How much could Prabhupada say in a television interview, especially when a man is asking challenging questions? But he did make that strong point, that Lord Chaitanya is authorized. Lord Chaitanya is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he came and inaugurated a special spiritual movement in which people could not only love God in a vague way, but as taught by the Sankirtan movement, by worshipping and serving Radha and Krishna. These are some of the implications of preaching and the fruit that Lord Chaitanya is distributing. Then he says, by the transcendental desire of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, water has been sprinkled all over the tree, and thus there are innumerable fruits of love of Godhead. Distribute this Krishna consciousness movement all over the world. Let people eat these fruits and ultimately become free from old age and death. Now, the main way of Lord Chaitanya propagation, when we think of it, the Hare Krishna movement distribution, is how? By chanting. This is the mass distribution that Lord Chaitanya himself personally did. He personally tasted, and according to the person's qualifications, he discussed Krishna consciousness, and as a mass movement, he chanted the holy names, and that's still the process. So by the widespread chanting, this tremendous benefit, Prabhupada writes in the purport, how people don't know that they're going to die and how to overcome the miseries. But simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, one can become free from all misery. But people don't take it seriously. Those who are actually servants of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu must seriously distribute this movement all over the world to render the greatest benefit to human society. So I was saying that there's a connection between practicing it and distributing it. And in Vrindavan, we especially come to practice it and to taste it. And the idea of somebody distributing something that he doesn't have is really absurd. If nobody has it and everybody claims to be distributing it, then it's a farce. Also, it's not right if people have it and they don't distribute it. So, this freedom from anxiety, and at least being seriously engaged in the process of getting free from miseries of birth and death by chanting, that has to be undertaken by the sincere members. And they can honestly relate this and relate their position to others. And people will see that this is no bluff. These devotees actually follow the four rules, which is very difficult, but they seem to be doing it easily. And this chanting of Hare Krishna, by doing this, they're able to sustain themselves in a positive way in spiritual life. They're very pure and sincere. Even if a small number of living beings take it seriously, by their chanting loudly, all living entities, including even trees, animals, and other lower species, will be benefited. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu inquired from Haridas Thakur how he was to benefit living entities other than humans, Srila Haridas Thakur replied that the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is so potent that if it is chanted loudly, everyone will benefit, including the lower species of life. And Lord Chaitanya says, if the fruits are distributed all over the world, my reputation as a pious man will be known everywhere, and thus people will glorify my name with great pleasure. Speaking of ISKCON as a branch of the tree, it's a very significant thing, ISKCON, Prabhupada's movement, because here Lord Chaitanya is making predictions, which we may take for granted. Yes, the fruits are being distributed all over the world, and therefore Lord Chaitanya's reputation is being praised. But it was only Prabhupada who brought this about. And that the members of the Krishna conscious movement weren't raised in this way and leading pious, sane lives, but were leading chaotic lives and confused lives. And now, as Prabhupada says, feeling transcendental happiness. So Lord Chaitanya's movement is being proven, or its predictions are being proven by Prabhupada's, we call Prabhupada's movement, which is a branch of the Chaitanya tree. And then in the text here comes that famous verse, Bharate, the Sanskrit isn't here. How does it start? Bharate. One who has taken his birth as a human being in the land of India should make his life successful and work for the benefit of other people. It is the duty of every living being to perform welfare activities for the benefit of others with his life, wealth, intelligence, and words. This is, even before this is realized as a spiritual principle, it's an ethical or moral principle that when you come to live in this world, you take things, so you should give back. If a person just takes and doesn't give back, then he's just a burden on the earth. So everyone should be trying to find some way to contribute something. But we don't know what to contribute. This is, now we know something actually valuable, how to help people. By his work, thoughts, and words, an intelligent man must perform actions which will be beneficial for all living entities in this life and the next. Prabhupada says, unless one is interested in sreyas, meaning activities of the ultimate goal, in his own life, he cannot preach sreyas for the benefit of others. This is a very stirring chapter, a vision of this movement spreading all over the universe, and ourselves auspiciously situated as a part of it, doing some little thing. Like Lord Chaitanya said, O son of Maharaj Nanda, I am your eternal servant. Somehow I have fallen into this material ocean of birth and death. Please fix me as one of the atoms at your lotus feet. So I just want a small place. I can't claim that I have a big place because I am small. But if I can place myself humbly as an atom of dust at the feet of Radha and Krishna, then I'll be free from the ocean of birth and death. And I meant to do that. Because I'm spiritual by nature. So, this chapter gives us a picture of the movement. And we are, it's like a map, you could call it a graphic, reproduction, and we are on the picture, each one of us, and we should be very fortunate that we're in this picture and make ourselves useful and become more and more happy. taking the fruits and distributing the fruits. I'll just read a few more, then if you have some comments or questions, you can. The descendants of the tree were very glad to receive this order directly from the Lord. The fruit of love of God is so tasteful that wherever a devotee distributes it, those who relish the fruit anywhere in the world immediately become intoxicated. The fruit of love of Godhead distributed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is such a great intoxicant that anyone who eats it, filling his belly, immediately becomes maddened by it, and automatically he chants, dances, laughs, and enjoys. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the great gardener, sees that people are chanting, dancing, and laughing, and that some of them are rolling on the floor and some are making loud humming sounds, he smiles with great pleasure. The great gardener, Lord Chaitanya, personally eats this fruit, and as a result, he constantly remains mad, as if helpless and bewildered. So he's referring to the states of ecstasy that come by chanting Hare Krishna, which cannot be imitated, but one should aspire. Taking a skeptical attitude can hear this and say, oh, this is very ideal, but I have so many problems in being part of ISKCON and trying to preach and the world is not very receptive. That's all true, but that doesn't make this less true. When despite all these obstacles and imperfections, you continue to work, you can realize what is ideally described here, which does exist, the fruit of love of God and the pleasure of tasting and distributing it. It is more real than the superficial growing pains of ISKCON or our particular aches and pains. So this, we should keep this more prominently fixed in our mind and vision rather than the superficial impressions we get. And not that we're blind to them, but we have to understand them for what they are and try to see the good that is being performed by devotees in this movement and never abandon the essence. Not get distracted by superficial activities, but engage in chanting, hearing about Krishna, tasting it, and distributing it. That is what Krishna Consciousness Movement is. Krishna Consciousness Movement isn't properties and bylaws, although these things may be necessary to conduct the movement in this world, but it's as described here. With his Sankirtan movement, the Lord made everyone mad like himself. We do not find anyone who was not intoxicated by his Sankirtan movement. Persons who had formerly criticized Lord Chaitanya, calling him a drunkard, also ate the fruit and began to dance, saying, very good, very good. So this indicates that there will be opposition. Prabhupada said opposition first comes by people just laughing and neglecting the Krishna conscious movement. Then they start to take it seriously and they come to persecute it. But then finally they come to agree that it's very good, as it's stated here. So someone, if he has a critical attitude, he will stay on the critical platform. But one who is serious and finds the sweet essence of this movement will begin to understand very good. And he will begin to grasp. Alright, that's a little run through of this chapter. Now, you can discuss it, anything that you wish. Yes?
So, ISKCON is just one aspect of the whole tree. So, I mean, there are many other processes or any sampradayas that are going to
find. Yes? They're also unbona fide. That's a different thing. Just as on a tree, sometimes there are parasites, things that grow on a tree, they're not the real tree, they appear to be the tree. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur has described at least 12 kinds of unbonafide deviant sects that claim to be part of Lord Chaitanya's movement, like the Prakrita Sahajiya, Gauranagari, so many others. But they're also, aside from ISKCON, there's also other bona fide branches. And even in ISKCON, there are branches and sub-branches. There are individual temples, there are individual gurus and their followers, so that it's always branching. We don't say we're the only branch. Yes.
And it can be a problem. I find that, you know, I see ISKCON devotees and we know, oh yeah, they're, you know, they maybe see someone else. I wonder, oh, are they bogus or are they? And then I find that being skeptical about the person, I'm not sure, you know. Is it another group in Ireland and they seem to be disturbing ISKCON? I was feeling like they're taking them away and then they only chant four rounds and do different things and everything. Are they off or should I be thinking, oh well, at least they're just working somewhere? Or
yeah.
Should we be studying and or trying to find out which ones is which?
We should know. Bhakti Godhead had a series of articles about deviant sects historically from the time of Lord Chaitanya, an elaboration on the 12 non-bona fide sects that Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentioned. But the fact is that these different sects will exist in the world. And even a sect that is bona fide, like ISKCON, it can develop anarthas that have to be purified. So our main work should be to purify this sect. Distribute. But we don't have to feel so much threatened and intimidated by other sects. I remember when I first went as a missionary on Prabhupada's order to Boston, at that time, 1967, as our movement was gaining in popularity, then suddenly the TM movement just came to America with great wave of popularity. And I felt real threatened by it. And Prabhupada assured me by his letters that it would stay for some time, but don't be afraid of it. Go on preaching the truth. And one thing he said, that among other things that gave me some assurance, was that Krishna's in control of that sect too. He said, "You Americans, you like to take things cheaply, and you want to be cheated. So Krishna has sent someone for that." And then I understood, well, it's not like it's something that's completely out of control. It's that people want this, so Krishna has sent a person to give them that. And I remember that going on, then not feeling so much we had to just compete, and that some people go to them and some people would come to us, but we had to practice the real thing ourselves and then give people who are more serious the real thing. He also said that we shouldn't, sometimes he said different things, but more generally he said that it's not that we should be openly publicly denouncing and criticizing the specific sect by name and everything. But when people are sincere and they come to us and they're serious and they inquire, what about this? I've been thinking of this other TM. What do you think of that? Then we can confide in them. So you should know to some degree what it is from the Krishna conscious viewpoint. And why we do what we do, and why it's right to behave, why it's not, even though somebody may do something different. But you have to be not like that, like always trying to put down other groups, but just be very convinced about Lord Chaitanya and Prabhupada, and then you can represent it best. And then incidentally, when someone says, what about this and what about that, try to describe it in terms of the philosophy. We should peacefully prosecute Krishna consciousness. I like to productive is a word. It's a good word, but we shouldn't abuse it. But a word I like to think in terms of more is contribution, to make a contribution with whatever you have, to feel like that and think like that. Let me contribute to this movement. We have life, and give our whole life. And we can give our money, if we have any money, give our intelligence, give our words. Lord Chaitanya said, these things you have at your disposal. So you contribute. Always be contributing. And sometimes making yourself fit to contribute, and sometimes actually contributing. But thinking like that, how I can make a contribution to this movement in some way. Like you can envision it in many ways. There is a tree, you can think of it as a chorus with many voices, and you want to add your voice, or it's a bouquet of flowers, and you want to add what you can, never thinking that it will be such a tremendous thing. But always trying to give your whole self. So definitely the stress on being productive and counting too much quantity of money or books or even properties or devotees converted, it can become excessive, and then people start thinking that spiritual life means to do is that you have to do more than others, and all that kind of competition is emphasized rather than each person contributing what they can. And that, yes, I was able to distribute books, now I got married, now I'm raising a family, I'm still making a contribution. So we shouldn't be affected by if somebody's preaching like that in a strident way. Perhaps some people respond to it, but we shouldn't be intimidated by it. And therefore we have to get assurance from people who are mature and recognize that we are sincere and we're trying to make some kind of contribution according to our capacity and our taste, according to our ability. So as we come into a position of recognizing others, we should always try to recognize each person's contributions. Once at an airport, a little girl was giving Prabhupada a flower, and he gave it back, and she was giving again. The devotees began to laugh. And he said, she is contributing or giving or doing as much as any of you are doing. So to encourage and recognize each person's attempt to be our work, not to only recognize one particular thing as productive. Then we can be encouraged and think, let me develop something, develop some service, develop myself, develop some way to help the Krishna conscious movement in my own way. And we can do that and be productive. Be pleasing to Krishna. They have the example of the spider, or the squirrel, I mean, who pleased Lord Rama by giving what he could. Pleased him as much as the big monkey. But Lord Rama didn't measure how many boulders, how what the weight was, and so on. But how much that person was giving. Because Rama wasn't materialistic. He was judging surrender and devotion. Well, certainly a mother can surrender and be devoted by raising children. Spiritual measurement is required. Well, I don't know the context of the conversation, but if we do take preaching in that broad way, then that protection will be given to all those who are engaging in this movement in some way connected with the preaching. If you take it in a narrow way, then it means whatever somebody want, however you want to interpret it, that only the persons who are distributing books or who are giving a lecture, whatever, only they and not other persons. But I think Prabhupada meant it to be taken in a broad way. At one time in a movement, it still maybe people argue or insist that this is better than another service, but it was getting intense and competitive at one time around 1975. And some of us wrote letters to Prabhupada. I wrote a letter about some of the preaching that was going on, that only one kind of service is the best service and other services are not important. And Prabhupada wrote back, he said, you are older students, you should know better. These talks are childish talks. And then he went on to say that all the one service was not more important than another, and there are nine kinds of devotional service, but the most important are Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam. And then he said it's all right to think, to be enthusiastic about your own service, and try to perfect it, but don't put down another's service. Then you will commit an offense, and Krishna won't protect you from that offense. So protection of offenses comes. But we have to also protect ourselves. Yes, that's what I've been trying to understand by reading this chapter, that this movement, if you're part of this movement, it's a dynamic wave. Yeah, it's a fact that some people will be better than others and will have more life. Some people may not be contributing so much and just being carried by the wave of the movement. So we should encourage everyone, don't drag your heels, do something, don't be dead weight, contribute something. But you can do it in many different ways. And then everyone will benefit. And everyone should feel, we can recognize that and praise that some are doing wonderfully, and recognize their qualities and praise them. Just we saw the little skit they did of their Braj Mandala Parikram. So they were giving praise to the book distributor, praise to the person who serves the prasadam, praise to the person who bandages their feet, and praise to the person who carries the microphone, and everyone was being praised as doing some nice service. So we should do that. And then even according to Varnashram, we consider the strongest persons are the Kshatriyas. They protect the others. You can't say that the Brahmin is as strong as the Kshatriya. But even the Kshatriya, he thinks that he's weak compared to Krishna. Only Krishna is really strong. So in society we may recognize and praise the physical strength of the Kshatriya, and the wealth of the Vaishya, and the knowledge of the Brahmin. But all are small compared to the strength and the wealth and the knowledge of Krishna.